hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Well, hey, you know, you can learn a lot about life from pirates. And Sarah and I have been enjoying our Disney Plus subscription that we have, and we've been working our way through the Pirates of the Caribbean series because we're just, if we're honest, we're feeling a little bit like we needed a little bit more Johnny Depp in our lives, which is, you know, a need I'm sure many of you can relate to. But we just made it through the third movie, and one thing that I couldn't help notice as we've been going through this series of movies is that all the characters in the movie have something in common. And what they have in common is they're all searching for treasure. And when we think of treasure, we usually think of, you know, a treasure chest full of gold coins that's, you know, X marks the spot, it's buried beneath the sands of some deserted tropical island somewhere in the middle of nowhere. But treasure can actually take on a lot of different forms. You know, some of the characters in the movies, like the undead crew of the Black Pearl, they are looking for the treasure that will set them free from the curse that's been put upon them. So they're looking for the treasure of life. Then there's characters like William Turner. He's searching for the treasure of love found in his beloved Elizabeth. And then there's Captain Jack Sparrow, who spends the entire series searching for the greatest treasure in his mind, which is the freedom to sail the high seas as a captain of his own ship, able to go wherever the wind will carry him. And so everyone in these movies wants something. And the drama of the story is the weaving together of each character's pursuit of the treasure that they are searching for. And that's entertaining. Makes for a good movie. But it's also, I realized while watching it, a bit of a picture of life. Because we may never set sail on a pirate ship, but the truth is that you and I and everyone who's ever lived have spent their lives searching for treasure. And that treasure can take on many forms. It can be physical, it can be emotional, it can be spiritual. You know, I've got a friend back home in the States who grew up quite poor, and so he spends a lot of his time working really, really hard, sometimes 70 hours in a week, trying to invest in the treasure of security and money. And then there's others who put their time and energy into pursuing the treasures of love and family, so they go about searching for someone to get married to and start a family with. And then there's people that you hear about like Sir Edmund Hillary, who searches for the treasure of accomplishing what no one else has accomplished before in summiting Mount Everest. And so we all have treasures that we're searching for. But the question I want to pose to you tonight is, what treasures are you pursuing? Because here's the thing. It's not actually wrong to pursue treasures. It's not wrong to desire money or freedom or even true love's kiss. The problem comes when that pursuit of those treasures begin to take first place in our hearts. And that's when we can start to get into troubled waters. And because we can get so wrapped up in pursuing the temporary treasures of this world, we can actually become enslaved to our own self-interest. And when the pursuit of a treasure takes first place in your life, you will sacrifice almost anything to get it. Am I right? You know, if that treasure is something temporary like money, cars, relationships, or in my particular case, Tim Tams, then, man, you guys, if you aren't careful, you might just sacrifice the things that are most important in life for the things that aren't. And living out of self-interest usually doesn't work out very well in the long run for people. I mean, how many of us have seen the lives of celebrities destroyed by pursuing the treasure of fame? Probably all of us know of a marriage or a family that's been destroyed by someone searching for and pursuing self-centered treasures. And here's the thing. We are made to live in pursuit of treasure. And what I want to pose to you guys this evening is that God has actually designed you to pursue treasure, and that you can't repent away your desire to possess that which is valuable. But it's when we get so wrapped up in these desires and pursue them out of our own self-interest rather than in the interest of God or others that it can easily entangle us. And so as we continue our series tonight called This Is Free, I want to pose to you that there is a treasure that is greater than all of the temporary treasures of this world. And when you put the pursuit of that treasure in first place, it will set you free from living only out of your own self-interest. After all, if you want to get free from living for yourself, well, then you've got to find something better to live for. So if you guys got your Bible with you this evening, why don't you go ahead and turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. So in this series, our heart for what we're wanting to accomplish is we are wanting to equip you to not only be able to get free from the things in life that weigh you down, we are also hoping to equip you to stay free and to be able to continue to get more and more free as time goes by. And so John T. beautifully shared last week about how freedom is a process that we go through. It's not just a one-and-done kind of event. And it's a journey where we go deeper and deeper into the things of God, and as we go deeper into those things, we get more and more free day by day. Now, because the road of life contains some bumps and some bruises and possibly the occasional explosion, I was asking myself a bit of a question this week. And that question was this: what drives people to stay faithful in their pursuit of God over the long decades of their lives? In fact, as poor of a job as I have done, I asked myself, what has kept me on track pursuing God over the last 11 years that I've been walking with the Lord? Because being part of a great church, as great as that is, isn't good enough. Living a life that feels clean and is upright, while awesome, isn't good enough. There has to be something more, something that drives us to toss aside everything else and say, man, I am in this thing no matter what life throws at me. Yeah. And so what causes someone to keep pursuing God rather than the treasures of this world? Take a look with me at verse 44 in Matthew chapter 13. You'll see that it reads, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything that he had, and he bought it." So these two back-to-back parables, they highlight something to us about the human heart. We recognize value when we see it. And when we know something of great value is within our grasp, we tend to desire it greatly. And if you were going through an op shop and trying on some different jackets, and let's say you slipped your hand inside the pocket and discovered to your surprise that there was $500 cash inside this jacket, how upset would you be to find out that that jacket's price tag was $25? You're not going to be bothered by paying $25 for this jacket, right? Because the value of what you are receiving exceeds the value of what you are giving away in order to obtain it. And this is what is happening in these two parables. When you discover great treasure, you will go to great lengths and to great costs to obtain it. And this plays out in decisions all the time to invest thousands of dollars in education because we believe that the value of what we will get out of it exceeds the value of what we have to give to obtain it. In marriage and in family, we will give of our time, our energy, and our money in order to receive and to protect the treasure of the greatest relationships that life has to offer because we understand that what we're giving away is not as valuable as what we are receiving. And this truth, you guys, is hardwired into you, and it affects the way that you approach everything in your life. We desire to give up lesser things in order to obtain the greater once we see that it is within our grasp. And this is key for us to understand about ourselves because when it comes to your walk with God, for example, there is a need for you to actually see the value of who He is and what His kingdom brings to your life. Because if you don't see that value, it will be difficult for you to stay motivated to follow God over the long years of your life. And filling this part of your heart with anything less than those kind of treasures is going to lead to a lot of problems. I guarantee you that the level that you are pursuing God with today is directly related to the level of value that you see in your relationship with Him. And that value comes from experiencing him. You know, I met Jesus when I was 15 years old, and there was this girl in one of my classes that I thought was pretty cute, and I happened to find out that she attended a youth group at a church in my hometown, so I thought, well, you know, I can be a youth group kind of guy. And so like all the cool kids did at that age, I got dropped off by my mom at this youth group. And, you know, I tried to look as cool as I could as I was stepping out of her minivan. And you know, and then I kind of surveyed the scene and I realized that at this youth group, I knew nobody. That's because I didn't grow up in a Christian home. So I didn't exactly hang in the same circles that the kind of kids that went to youth group hung in. And so just as I begin to have some second thoughts, maybe this isn't such a great idea, I turn and I see that my mom's minivan is pulling out of the car park. And so, guys, there's no turning back at this point. So I thought, well, yeah, I smoothed out my hair, popped a breath mint, so let's go find this girl. And so I kind of searched around for a little bit, and then I did eventually bump into this girl, and we had about a 15-second conversation, and then she sort of disappeared into the crowd, and I didn't see her for the rest of the night. So it wasn't exactly the greatest start to things with this girl. And honestly, things didn't end up working out with her, but, you know, I actually don't mind too much because a few years later, I met this real cute blonde who laughs at all my jokes and thinks I'm pretty cool. Yeah, for the record, she at least still laughs at my jokes. So, you guys, I'm at this youth group. I'm just about ready to call my mom and beg her to come back and get me and rescue me. When all of a sudden the youth pastor comes out and he says, oh, guys, he said the service is about to start, everybody in, and I kind of get swept away in this sea of humanity that's heading into the church. And all of a sudden I find myself in this room where there's these people on stage, they start playing music, and all of a sudden the people around me are lifting their hands and they're jumping and they're shouting things. And you guys, it was the weirdest thing I had ever seen. It was so bizarre. And so, you know, internally, I'm sitting there, and I am promising myself, I was like, I will never come back here again. This is so weird. But, you know, after a while, the music stopped, and the youth pastor came up on stage, and he started to preach his message. And, you know, I thought the music was strange, and you know, the hand raising was kind of weird, and mostly I was really confused over why everyone was singing about how good their fathers were. Because, you know, I mean, I have a good dad, but I've never told him by singing to him, you know? So it was weird. But you know, when that youth pastor came out and he started to speak, I don't know what it was, but something about what that man on stage was saying grabbed a hold of me. And I knew that I wanted to hear more of what he had to say. And so I decided to come back the next week, but the next week I told my mom, hey, can you drop me off a half hour late so I can just kind of, you know, skip all the hand-raising stuff and just go to the message, which is what I really wanted to hear. And so I ended up coming for 4 weeks in a row, and then on that fourth visit, the youth pastor, at the end of his message, gave an invitation that if there was anyone in the room who wanted to give their lives to Jesus, that there was some space at the front, and you could come up and pray. And I can't explain it, but in that moment, I knew that I wanted that more than I had ever wanted anything in my entire life. I knew in that moment I wanted to know who this man Jesus was. With a simple prayer, so began the end of an old life and the beginning of a new one. And it's a story that's still unfolding and has led me to the greatest joys of my short 27 years here on earth. And in that moment that I gave my life to Jesus, I just felt like the weight of the world just slid off of me in an instant. And I suddenly felt this freedom begin to wash over me as I was instantly set free from a prison that I didn't even realize that I was in. And you guys, it wouldn't be right to say that I found freedom that night, because freedom is a person and he found me. And nobody had to convince me that freedom was the greatest treasure that I'd ever found, because I had experienced it for myself. So my whole life changed. Not all at once, but I started to hang out with different friends, started to be a little bit kinder to people, started to swear a little bit less, and, you know, I started to say no to some of the things that I'd used to say yes to. And why is that? Well, because like, you know, just like the jacket with $500 in the pocket, the freedom that I had found was a greater treasure than the things that I had treasured before. And it was all too easy for me to let go of the lesser treasures of an old life in order to pick up the greater treasures of a new life. And I believe that this is key for us to get free of living a self-centered life. Because you will let go of your desires for sin and worldly treasures when you get a taste of the better treasures of God's kingdom. Because after all, if you want to get free from living for yourself, then you've got to find something better to live for. So there's many treasures that can be found in this world, and you know, not all of them are wrong to pursue, but they just shouldn't be in first place. And then there are treasures that come from God's kingdom, like the freedom from sin that I experienced when I gave my life to Jesus. And these kingdom treasures are good too, and they need to be pursued, and they need to be celebrated. You know, we're given things like eternal life, the promise that our last breath here on earth is going to be immediately followed by our first breath in the radiance of God's presence in eternity. We get the privilege of being part of the world's largest family with close to 2 billion brothers and sisters around the world. And that is just to name a few of the things without going into the thousands of ways in which believers all around the world experience God's faithfulness and kindness on a regular basis. And these truly are amazing treasures, and they're a part of our inheritance as believers. But just like when we put worldly treasures in first place, if we stop here and we only set our sights as high as these kingdom treasures, then we can actually miss out on an even higher treasure. This higher treasure is the source of all peace, all freedom, all grace, and all power. His mercy is an endless ocean. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and his voice is both the roar of 1,000 waves crashing on the shore, and his voice is the tender whisper that causes even the most closed human heart to open. He is God. He is man. His name is Jesus. And when you see this man for who he truly is, when you recognize him as the greatest treasure that you could lay hold of in your lifetime, it will cause you to toss aside 100 lesser treasures. And one girl discovered this treasure 2,000 years ago, and it changed her forever. Her name was Mary of Bethany. Some of you might know her story. And she's mentioned a few times throughout the Gospels. But at one point, Jesus and his disciples came to stay at her home. And when her sister Martha was busy serving everyone, Mary instead was found sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to the words that he spoke. Mary had a desire to not just serve and follow Jesus, as good as those things are, but to actually know him. Then, a little bit later, Mary's brother Lazarus gets unwell and he dies. And Mary's love for Jesus deepens when she watches this humble teacher from Nazareth walk to the entrance to the tomb where her brother is buried. She looks on as he shouts, "Lazarus, come out!" And watches as the brother whom she had seen dead with her own eyes just 4 days earlier came walking out of the tomb very much alive. And perhaps in that moment, Mary realized that Jesus is a giver of many treasures. But even more so, the man who can give life to the dead is a treasure himself. And when we arrive at the final story, it's probably the one she is most famous for. It's just a few days before Jesus is going to the cross. He's going to die, and he's trying to prepare his followers for this reality. And so Jesus is with his disciples at Mary's home and dinner, and they're having dinner together, and they're all gathered around the table. When all of a sudden, Mary comes in from the other room, and she's holding something in her hand, and I imagine the room goes a little bit quiet, because in Mary's hand is a very, very expensive alabaster bottle of perfume. In fact, this perfume was worth about a year's wages, so it was likely the greatest treasure that Mary owned. And then to the surprise and shock of almost everyone in the room, she does something completely unexpected. Mary takes this bottle and she breaks it open. And she pours the perfume over the head of Jesus and over his feet. And then using her own hair, she goes and she dries his feet. This perfume was the costliest thing that Mary owned. And she wanted to spend it on the one who had loved her when no one else had. The other people in the room, they immediately began to protest, saying, "What a waste this was. This perfume could have been sold and the money could have been given to the poor," which almost sounds noble. But Jesus speaks up and he says, "Why are you giving her trouble? She has done a good thing for me. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me among you. And surely I tell you the truth that wherever this gospel is preached, what Mary has done here will be remembered." You know, guys, when we hear a story like this one, you can't help but ask, what would drive a person to do something like that? Because I want you to imagine you owning a bottle of perfume that is worth $40,000 and then dumping it on someone's head. Because that is essentially what has happened here. There's only one explanation. In that moment, Mary truly felt that her relationship with Jesus was the greatest treasure she had. Not just in theory, not because someone had told her so, but because she had experienced that for herself. And the treasure of giving this offering of love to him was greater than the treasure that she was giving away. Maybe she glanced down at that bottle of expensive perfume in her hand and truly felt that it actually wasn't extravagant enough to anoint this worthy man of love who had come to save a dying and broken world. But it was all she had. You know, the light of a candle seems bright when you're in a dark room. But when you take that candle outside and compare it to the blazing sun, it doesn't seem so bright anymore. And when we get a glimpse of the radiance of who Jesus is, the treasures of this world start to feel dim by comparison. And you guys, I am all about going to church, I'm all about reading the Bible, and I'm all about living a godly Christian life. My friends, we can't stop there. We must be desperate in our search to find this revelation of who Jesus is. We have to hunger and thirst to catch a glimpse of his beauty and his radiance, because when we discover him for the treasure that he really is, we will sell everything else to obtain that treasure. And that is the treasure that will keep you faithful for decades. That is the treasure that will set you free from being a slave to your own desires. Not good disciplines, not good Bible studies, not good sermons, but the knowledge that comes from having experienced him and tasted of his goodness. Because after all, if you want to get free from living for yourself, well, then you've got to find someone better to live for.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.